24. Running through the broad airlock ring of the Amaxine station, Reef thought, I actually came back to this place of my own free will? I defied orders to do it? Maybe Drengir pollen warps minds. Once he'd finally gotten within a couple dozen meters of the vessel without running into any more of the Nihil, he felt encouraged. Better yet was when he caught a flash of white moving amid the shadowy columns of metal, Orla Jorenni's telltale robes. She looked equally relieved to see him.
Thank the Force. I thought the Nihil might have caught up with you, Orla said, putting one hand on his shoulder.
They did, or actually, Nan did, but she said that since I'd returned her to her fleet once, she'd give me one break. So, here I am.
At least one of them has a sense of honor then.
Orla's expression was skeptical. But I'm not convinced that's a value of the group as a whole.
Me either, Reith said.
He remembered the way Nan's finger had remained firm against her blaster's trigger. She'd wanted to kill him badly enough that letting him go had been hard. It would be a mistake to test her honor again.
The Nihil want to use this station as a base of operations for raiding this entire area of space. The Republic has to either hold the Amaxine station as its own property or destroy it.
I'd gathered as much, said Orla.
Reith tried not to feel disappointed that she'd already reached that conclusion without him.
At least we've got the Drengir taken care of.
About that,
Orla winced.
We're about to set the Drengir free again.
Wait, what? Why?
But Reith instantly realized the only reason that would ever be under consideration.
Is there no other way to sneak off the station without the Nihil seeing us?
She shook her head.
Not a chance. We have to distract them on a scale that will have every single warrior on that massive ship hurrying onto the station to fight. Otherwise, they'll blow us to pieces as soon as we're free of the airlock.
Reith couldn't suppress a shiver as he thought about facing the Drengir again. This time, at least, he wouldn't be at such a disadvantage. Trapped on a world not his own, trying to protect someone injured and unable to defend himself. All they had to do was keep themselves from being killed long enough for the Drengir and the Nihil to collide with each other, at which point the Jedi would fall much farther down each enemy's list of priorities. But keeping themselves from getting killed that long, with both groups out for their blood, it wouldn't be easy. More than that, a sense of dread was creeping in at the edges of Reith's consciousness. Danger lay ahead, in some way they hadn't yet fully recognized.
Did you see Komac?
Orla said.
He went after you.
He found me. And Dez!
The astonishment and joy on Orla's face erased Reith's worries, at least for that moment.
There's a transport area beneath the station, which is why the Nihil and Drengir are so interested in the first place. Dez was accidentally sent to the Drengir homeworld. At least, maybe it was their homeworld. There were a lot of them there. He was badly injured, out of it, and I'm positive they interrogated him harshly.
What simple words for describing a nightmare, Reith pressed on.
Anyway, Komac took Dez back to the vessel. Do you need him to help remove the force barrier?
Dez needs more help right now, and we're already here, so let's see if the two of us can handle it,
Orla said. She sounded more confident than he suspected she felt, certainly more confident than he felt. Already she was putting away her saber, preparing for the journey back to the Arboretum.
Are you ready, Reith?
It hit him then what she was truly asking of him, to go with her into the heart of the storm.
Yes,
he said.
Let's go.
Affy's hands continued to redden and sting as she and Leox made their way back toward the vessel.
I think that sap is toxic to humans, she said.
I think you may be right. Hopefully some sort of salve or unguent aboard the ship will set you right. Until then, let's keep moving.
Leox kept hurrying her along like he thought she remained on the verge of turning back. That annoyed Affy, even though he wasn't entirely wrong. She wasn't going to turn back, she just kept wishing she could.
I guess I'll have to talk to Scover about it directly, she thought.
Make her explain exactly what she was thinking and see if...
if she actually understands how wrong she's been.
If she didn't... No, Affy wouldn't even imagine that. Scover would get it. She had to. The two of them reached the corridor that encircled the Arboretum. In the far distance, she could hear rumblings and marching feet that had to be the Nihil. She tensed as she heard footsteps much closer.
What the?
Leox stopped, then put his hands on his hips.
Didn't expect to find any friends here.
Affy peered ahead and sighted two of the Jedi coming toward them through the shadows. Orla Jereni in her white robes, which somehow remained spotless, and a rumpled Reeth Sylas. Probably Affy didn't look so great herself. Orla ignored Leox's friendly words.
You two need to get back to the vessel immediately. Prepare to leave within 10 minutes. If we haven't made it back by then, you're to leave without us.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Leox held up both hands.
What's this about? I don't intend to leave anybody behind. It's the kind of thing that reflects poorly on a commercial pilot.
That won him half a smile from Orla.
The only way to distract the Nihil long enough for us to escape the station is to release the Drengir.
Reeth gestured toward those trees that had changed location.
That's what was held in place by the idols, but we have to set them free again to distract the Nihil. If you set these Drengir free, we'll have two groups trying to kill us instead of just one,
Affy said.
The hope, Reeth said, is that they'll be too busy trying to kill each other. How do you know they won't join forces to turn against us? She demanded.
Nobody had an immediate answer for that, which confirmed Affy's worst suspicions.
The Jedi were making this up as they went along. Look at the bright side, she told herself. If you die, you don't have to confront Scover.
Orla managed to send Leox and Affy back to the ship before the girl asked any more uncomfortable questions. Maintaining focus was easier when she didn't think of all the many things that could go wrong. Many, many things. She and Reeth headed back into the Arboretum. The shadows of the petrified Drengir chilled her, but more unnerving by far was the sheer power pulsing around the room, cross-angled through the idols, a power that reverberated in her body. Even though Orla had helped put the barrier in place, the enormity of what they'd done struck her anew.
It's not going to be like dropping a curtain or opening a gate,
Orla murmured to Reeth.
It won't be a gentle impact like before. The recreated barrier is new, more vital. When the barrier drops, the reaction will be intense. I sense it too.
Reeth braced himself. She nodded.
Just follow my lead.
Orla reached out with her feelings, making contact with the edge of the barrier. The tension there was almost aware, all but conscious of its duty to hold the Drengir within.
You are needed no longer.
She sent into the swirl of energy that wasn't quite a mind.
You have done well, but you will do better now to let go.
Next to her, Orla could feel Reeth doing something very similar, reaching into the field in his own way, coaxing it to release. But the field was stubborn, hanging on tighter and tighter as they tugged against it. Orla redoubled her efforts. Her arms shook as she held them out, physically straining to pull back the powers they had unleashed. It felt to her as if the barrier was not falling, but expanding, coming closer and closer until static electricity raced along her skin and stood her hair on end. Sparks zapped through the air, and for one instant she wondered if they would succeed only in paralyzing themselves too, trapping them with the Drengir. Then they lost it. The hold they'd had on the energy field slipped away, leaving them both breathing hard.
We came close, Reeth said. If we try again...
No, Orla shook her head.
Two people aren't enough.
With that, she kneeled amid the debris on the station floor and took up a blaster. Reeth frowned.
What are you going to do?
Desecrate history,
Orla said.
Sorry about that.
She aimed directly at the idol of the Human Queen, right between her golden eyes, and fired.
The field is woven through the idols, Wreath was thinking. Destroy one of the idols, and you destroy...
A wave of energy hit Wreath like a tsunami, sending him sprawling backward on the floor, sliding for more than a meter. The electric charge of it tensed every muscle in his body and made him bite down on his tongue hard enough to taste blood. And the Drengir were free. The Drengir stood there, shuddering, apparently struck by the same charge that had felled the Jedi. It would take them another second or two to figure out they were free again. That gave the Jedi a few moments to escape. Orla looked dazed, maybe semi-conscious, as she struggled to stand. He crawled to her and tugged at her white robes.
Get up! We have to move now!
As she recovered, so did the Drengir. Fron-like hands pointed in their direction as Wreath and Orla clambered to their feet, and already it was time to run. Running over the Arboretum floor was like traversing rocky terrain, covered as it was with vines, debris, and the remnants of AT droids destroyed by the explosion. It would have been difficult to make good time even if Wreath didn't feel seasick and dizzy from the sheer impact of the force barrier's collapse. Behind them, he heard the eerie rustle thudding that had to be the sound of the Drengir running. Whatever it was getting louder and closer. Ahead of him was the entrance to the Equatorial Ring, which was no longer empty but filling with dark-clad, breath-masked, blue-striped warriors. For the first time and the last, Wreath was relieved to see the Nihil. One of the Nihil threw a gas missile, probably intending to hit the Jedi, but both Orla and Wreath ducked it handily while sucking in deep breaths. A Jedi could last longer without breathing than the average sentient being. That gave them a chance to put distance between them and the toxic gas. Instead, the gas detonated in the heart of the Drengir. They weren't phased in the slightest. Gas weapons only worked against beings who breathed the same gases. That didn't include plants. The creepy, rustling laughter of the Drengir grew louder as they bounded forward, passing Orla and Wreath completely in favor of attacking this new enemy.
Looks like the Drengir didn't just wake up hungry, Wreath thought as he kept running. They woke up ready for a fight.
For a split second, the Nihil hesitated. That second was long enough for Wreath to recognize that these were raiders, not warriors, and their courage faltered in a conflict where no profit was to be had. But all beings will fight for their lives. The Nihil shouldered weapons and began firing. Brilliant light from blaster bolts flickered in the darkness as Orla and Wreath kept running toward the vessel.
We have to get out of here, Wreath thought. Then, do we just leave this station to the Nihil or Drengir? We can't do that, no matter what.
Returning to the vessel already felt like surrender. Affy's mood plunged even further when she and Leox reached the airlock ring to find their way almost completely blocked by collapsed, smoldering debris. Ash still fogged the air. She groaned.
Did I do this?
Pretty much.
Then Leox stopped beside her and studied the wreckage more carefully.
Wait, maybe you didn't.
The scene around them was obviously the aftermath of the explosive she'd set off, so Leox's reaction caught her off guard.
What do you mean?
She asked.
Everything's been moved, or debris has been shifted into this area.
That made no sense.
Who would do that?
Affy said.
With all the things happening on this station, who's got time to rearrange the wreckage?
Leox picked up one of the smaller beams and tossed it aside. In the newly cleared space, Affy was startled to see vines growing, thick and ropey, spiny like cacti. At least half a dozen vines reached along the length of the floor.
They've grown this far in the past several minutes? How is that possible?
We don't have a damn clue about what the Drengir can do now that they've been set free.
Leox folded his arms across his chest.
Looks like the vines are working their way through the entire station as they grow. Not promising.
He had a gift for understatement. Grimacing at the twisted vines, Affy said,
Let's just get to the ship before the vines do.
We might be too late.
She thought Leox was being fatalistic until they made their way toward the airlock, vines underfoot the whole way, and then rising along the walls of the airlock itself, stems poking through every vent and crevice. Affy dashed onto the vessel and sighed with relief to see the plants hadn't grown on board. That relief lasted only as long as it took her to reach the cockpit, where she saw thick vines reaching across the entire front of the ship. Leox sat in the pilot seat and began checking sensors.
Damn it! I told Geo to stick around! What could he have done about this?
Affy gestured toward the vines.
Not a thing! I just wish he were here instead of mixing it up on the station. He never does know when to walk away from a fight.
Leox slumped in his chair.
We've got them all over us. The Drengir have tied us tight.
Affy tried to imagine how the vines could possibly live in the cold of space. Probably they didn't have to survive for long. Dead vines could bind the vessel in place nearly as strongly as living ones.
Signal the Jedi, Leox said. Let them know we have yet another complicating factor to deal with.
Quietly, she asked,
How do we get away from here?
Leox replied in the same tone of voice,
Blast our way out or die trying.
As softly as they spoke, they were still audible to Comac, who stood not far from the cockpit entrance. He'd meant to talk with them about Dez, to get more information on the scene inside the station before returning to fight alongside Orla and Reeth. Instead, he turned and dashed out of the ship back into the docking ring.
What happens between the Nihil and the Drengir at this point is no longer our most immediate concern, he reasoned as he leapt over the snarl of vines along the deck. We are responsible for the lives of the vessel's crew and that of Dez Rydan. Any other complications can be dealt with later. Now, we must escape.
His pathway through the debris scattered across the station led him closer to the Arboretum, where a battle was raging. Before he could even seek Orla and Reeth through the Force, they burst from one of the passageways, smelling faintly of toxic chemicals. Their comlinks were blinking at their belts, no doubt with Affy's warning about the vines. However, they were able to see the problem for themselves.
What now?
Orla said.
Is it some kind of giant Drengir?
Uncertain, Comac said, as Reeth kicked at one of the vines. Undoubtedly, the Drengir have created the vines. That's all we know. The vines have already begun to entrap the vessel. We must leave immediately.
Orla fell into step at Comac's side while they hurried back.
The good news is the Drengir and the Nihil are keeping each other busy. If we can get away, I don't think we have to worry about being pursued. How's Dez?
All but delirious, Comac said.
His mind was only half on the present moment as he attempted to consider ways of damaging the vines. Which was why he didn't notice their party was missing someone until they were already boarding the vessel. Orla realized it at the same moment.
Wait. Where's Reeth?
Reeth had swerved away from the others after only a few meters. He'd watched Comac and Orla go, wanting to stay behind and make absolutely sure that events were unfolding the way they should. If anything went wrong with their plan, he and his friends would need to know right away. But even if everything went right, Reeth had an important job to do. This station couldn't be left for the Nihil and the Drengir to fight over. It had given the Amaxines a tactical advantage millennia before. It remained capable of enabling a great deal of harm. Maybe the Republic could claim it, but the Republic wasn't coming to this area of the galaxy to conquer by sneak attack.
We would only be holding it to keep the Drengir or Nihil from taking control, Reeth thought. Both groups will want it back,
It'll stir up needless conflict, cost lives. And for what?
If the station couldn't be safely held, then it needed to be destroyed. Not literally, at least not now. Wreath wasn't carrying anything like the kind of firepower necessary for that. The vessel wasn't either, but he didn't have to demolish the Amaxine station to end its strategic capability. All he had to do was launch every single hyperspace pod at once, empty, and preferably to locations in the middle of dead space. No doubt if he'd spoken of his plan, either Orla or Master Komak would have insisted on performing the task instead. Wreath didn't want anyone else taking a risk.
"Controls are going to be down low," Wreath muttered as he made his way into the central globe. "Not looking forward to going through that tunnel again."
His second descent into the tunnel was as uneventful as the first, though Wreath's sense of suspense had gone from ratcheted up to almost unbearable. When he became a full Jedi, maybe he would be able to enter a near-meditative trance at such times, but he wasn't there yet. When he found the controls again, he placed his hand on the controls. They lit up. It took a little experimentation and a lot of faith in the Force to bring up location hollows, but Wreath finally got them going, tiny circles of light hovering in midair. The language and the notation systems were very old, but not unfamiliar to anyone who'd done multiple studies on the ancient Amaxines.
"Research," he thought with a glimmer of satisfaction. "Don't knock it."
Wreath shifted the coordinates for each of the pods by a measure that should put them near, but not on, any planet to which they'd previously been headed, even for the largest inhabited planets known to science. Space stations and closer space traffic would also be safe. A distant moon or two might take a hit, but it was much more likely that the pods would simply appear in empty space and float there until they were smashed by random asteroids or harvested for scrap metal. Once the coordinates were laid in, he pressed the central control. Instantly, the entire lower ring began to vibrate, the power that had jolted through the station when he and Dez left, but exponentially greater. Wreath was nearly flung to the floor, but he held out his hands, keeping his balance as the pod zipped away to the far corners of the galaxy. The Amaxine's work was undone. It felt a little sad, spoiling a piece of ancient machinery that had worked so well for so long. But as Wreath heard the continued clash of the Nihil and Drengir above, he thought, "Nothing can last forever." He clambered up and out of the tunnel, wincing as he realized how much closer the fight had come. They remained oblivious to him thus far, and to the loss of the pods. But Wreath had no clear route to the outer ring of the station, to the vessel, or to escape. Then his comlink buzzed. Trusting the din of battle to cover the sound, he lifted it to his ear and heard Leox.
"I would ask what the hell you're up to, but I'm guessing it has something to do with the Gilianti pods I just saw launch from this station."
"Good guess," Wreath said. "Listen, my way back is blocked right now. I'll try to get to you, but if I can't make it, I trust you guys to leave in time to save yourselves."
"Noble sacrifices are not currently of any use. We can't leave. The Drengir have the vessel tied in, literally. Sent vines to bind us to the station. We're going to try breaking free, but we need to go as soon as possible. The vines are still growing."
"What?" Wreath had never even considered that the others wouldn't be able to handle the vines on their own. They were just vines, weren't they?
But when he thought about how long and thick the roots would have to be to burrow through the station itself, he realized the ship might as well have been bolted in.
"Is there any way to stop them?"
"Not that I know of, other than brute force. If brute force is to be of any avail, it needs to be applied immediately. This is the best chance we're ever going to get."
It wasn't much of a chance. Wreath could hear that in Leox's voice. If the vessel was going to get away, the people on board would need time to cut away the bindings. Time when neither the Nihil nor the Drengir would or could attack them. The current battle had their enemies distracted, but for how long?
He thought of Dez, injured and helpless, the other Jedi on the mission who'd tried to lead him in Master Jorah's absence, and the crew of the vessel who had somehow become his friends. They were all in peril, all grasping at their last chance to survive. Master Jorah's voice echoed in his mind again.
Why can no Jedi cross the Kyber Arch alone?
And finally, Reeth knew the answer. Reeth had to save his friends if he could, even if the cost was his own life.